Hi everyone, welcome to the second episode of the Inspire North podcast. You may have seen that over the past few weeks we've been running our No Excuse for Abuse campaign around the Football World Cup. So the campaign primarily focused on speaking out to perpetrators to reinforce the message that there's no excuse for abuse at any time, as incidents of domestic abuse were expected to rise. So today we are up at one of the Foundation's domestic abuse services to hear from two former clients, Caroline and Sarah, who have gone through domestic abuse themselves and who are now volunteering as community champions. We thought it was really important to round off the campaign by speaking to people who have lived experience and who want to share their story to help others. So first off, I'll introduce Dawn Downey, who works at the service.
Hi everyone, I'm what's called an IDVA, so I'm an independent domestic violence advisor, working on an outreach basis across the area, supporting anyone who is suffering or has suffered domestic abuse.
And Dawn, could you please explain kind of what the community champion role is and how it came about for the service?
Our belief has always been that people with lived experience have the knowledge and the expertise to use that experience in a positive way. They've learnt from it, obviously, the hard way. No one would choose to go through it, but people have and they do. And for us, it was important that anybody who has that experience has the opportunity to be able to grow away from it, to have a future, to live a life free from abuse, but also to be able to support others who may be in a similar situation.
That's great. Thanks for explaining that. So, guys, I'll come to you, Caroline, first. If you just tell us a little bit about how you came to the service and a bit about your own experiences.
Hi, everyone. I came to this service when I was in domestic abuse. My ex was really abusive, emotional, financially, and physically. The foundation helped me so much. Foundation have changed so many things for me. They gave me home because, I was here only for a few months. It was only for 3 months since I came here in UK with my ex. And after the abuse, I was taken to the refuge by the police. They gave me the accommodation. And they gave me they sorted out my immigration. And above all, they were able to find the house for us where we are living now. And also they referred me to so many organizations whereby I was able to enroll myself in college studies and also boosting my confidence. There's so many things Foundation have done. I don't know how I can mention it here.
Thanks so much for explaining that, and it's brilliant to hear the positive impact that Foundation's had for you. And Sarah, if you wouldn't mind telling us a little bit about how you first came to the service as well.
Yeah, so I came through to Foundation through the police because I was a victim of domestic violence. And it started off like he was sort of grooming me. I didn't know the abuse was happening, and it was just getting worse and worse. And there was some significant physical assaults on me, so bad that obviously the police were involved. And that's when I was referred through to Foundation, and he went to prison. He was kept on remand to begin with, and then he went to prison. Because it was like at the beginning of COVID, I got a lot of emotional support straight away, which I really needed at the time. And they helped me to move into a dispersal refuge, like a dispersal property, because there was no room in the refuge. So I moved into there, and that was lovely. And I stayed there for 9 months, and then they helped me to get a house, permanent house, in the location that I wanted. And, they organised for security on the property, such as like CCTV and window locks and bolts, to make me feel safe. And that has made me be able to live without fear. It definitely reassures me. And also, Foundation helped me a lot through processes with other organisations, such as like the social services. They supported me through that, and we came out the other side. And now life has seems to have gone back to normal, and well, normal-ish. And I'm happy with that, and my children are as well. And so things just went from, you know, better from like Foundation being involved. And they helped me to get my life back on track. So that's why I wanted to help and give back to the community and help other people who could benefit.
So what does the community champion role entail, and what have you been doing to raise awareness?
So we produced some leaflets to take around to local businesses to try and raise awareness, to show, people that they could refer themselves into the service, and that we're actually here, because a lot of people don't realise that the services are there to help you, domestic abuse services, and what they've got to offer. So that's how we've been trying to raise awareness. And we've done a few events as well, where we've been speaking to local businesses.
You know, our aim was to spread the word. Yeah. And I have been also doing some running. I've been in marathon, trying to raise awareness of, you know, the domestic abuse, and also trying to advertise the foundation. And the foundation have been so helpful.
And Dawn, obviously they really give back to the service through everything they do. Have you felt an impact of that?
Absolutely. You know, I'm thankful every day for our community champions. Because when we have our meetings, the inspiration just shines through. And I always say, we might be small, but we're mighty. And there isn't anybody that doesn't go that extra mile to do anything that they can to support others. So you see the difference. If you're talking to people, for example, how a community champions relate, because they understand, and you know, they know what's involved. There's no judgment. Anything that people need, if the community champions can't support, they'll signpost to other services, because obviously they've had that experience themselves, so they know what's available. And how to sort of help navigate through. And because they're based in different communities, then it benefits a lot of people who may not ordinarily want to contact what they see as a service.
And what would you say to someone who is experiencing domestic abuse and kind of doesn't know where to turn or what to do? What would be your advice, having gone through that yourself?
I would say, it depends on the type of abuse and the situation, because every situation is different. And for one person, it could be one thing, and another. So for somebody, it could be try and find an escape plan, a safe plan, have things ready, like a spare mobile phone, or have some money, if you've got money, somewhere safe. But then for other people, they're not in that position, so they wouldn't be able to do that. It would be sort of to have an escape plan, or know about the services, know who you're going to ring, research, you know, support services, because there's people there for you. Or if you've got family that you could trust, or friends, let them know what you're going through.
I think talk therapy is the best thing through the abuse and stuff you're going through. Let your friends, let your family and everyone know about it. And above all, you need to report all of this to the police. Because the police, they're there to help us, and so, you know, so most of the time they are, you know, they come to the rescue, like, you know.
I think it's important as well that people know that they can report on 101 to the police. They don't necessarily have to press charges, but it can be logged and recorded. And that evidence would be there if it's needed in the future. Because quite often you start to see that pattern. Imagine that you start to realise yourself that things are gradually getting worse. But sometimes that can take years. But at least if that evidence is there, then it can be helpful in the future.
Yeah, I think it's best people, they do more research about the red flags, because once you see the red flags, you aware that there's something happening, because majority of the people, they don't see it. Yeah, but doing research in YouTube and stuff like that might help.
And what are some of the key red flags that you'd, you know, advise people to look out for?
It's controlling, majority of the controlling, turning kids against you, and emotional abuse, so many stuff.
What I would say is that no matter how small things, like, for instance, it might, you know, if you're having an argument with them and they throw something at the wall, that was the first thing that where I recognised there was something not right, because he didn't hit me to begin with. He was throwing things at the wall, and then it would be throwing chairs at mirrors, and then it would be throwing things at me, and then it would be attacking me, and then it would be like viciously attacking me. And it builds up over time. And it's important to, like what Dawn said, to log these things with the police. I didn't log things to begin with, but then I did. I started logging them with the police, because it's not going to get better. Once, if they're the type that's going to do things like throw things at the wall, throw your ornaments around, it's only going to get worse. It's not going to get better.
So turning you against your friends and your family, because that's what happened to me. Yeah, he came to my life. He turned me against everybody. So I was on my own. I couldn't see the other side of life. Until the time I went to the foundation, I was able to open my eyes.
And I think especially this time of year, it's probably quite a triggering time for a lot of people, isn't it? With a lot of family things going on and Christmas and a lot of financial and emotional pressures.
I think for me, if I say about the... I talk about the Christmas time... he used to, you know, he used to bring presents in the morning, like, you know, maybe over the night. And then all of a sudden, he's becoming explosion, like throwing all types of words on you and turning this, you know, beautiful moment to a nightmare. And we couldn't even enjoy the meal. So I think that's another red flag, like, you know, in a way, like,
yeah
trying to manipulate you emotionally, like, during this time of the year.
Yeah, love bombing, when there's so much affection to begin with, and then it's used later on as a tool for manipulation.
And even the birthdays, like, he would turn, you know, he'd become like having the love bombing moment. And then after a few hours, he have turned out to be someone else. He's now making you cry. It's as if you're paying for that moment, like, yeah, emotionally.
Well, I was going to say, you think when if you get pregnant, they're not going to hurt you because you're pregnant. But for me, that only got worse. The abuse got worse and worse the longer I was pregnant. And I was, viciously attacked whilst being pregnant. So I think some women, when I've spoken to other women, they've said, oh, I thought he wouldn't hurt me when I was pregnant. And I'm like, I used to think that, but it actually gets worse. And it's, and like you said about Christmas, the pressure of Christmas often makes it worse, domestic violence in households. Substance abuse, when they're abusing like alcohol or drugs and things, and you never know where you are with them, that obviously I think can make them worse.
So as part of the role, does that involve raising awareness of the different types of abuse as well, not just violence?
Absolutely, because, I mean, they introduced new laws that recognise coercive controlling behaviour as a crime. And that's a recent initiative that happened. And again, the non-fatal strangulation law that's just been introduced, because quite often, you know, that can be a part of the physical. But then the aftermath of that is the control and the emotional abuse and the name calling and the wearing you down and, you know, just chipping away at your confidence so your world gradually shrinks.
So, with your time as community champions under your belt, do you see yourself using this experience in the future and working with domestic abuse victims, or do you have any other goals you'd like to achieve?
I'd like to become a domestic violence counsellor. I'd like to train to become a qualified counsellor. And then I'd love to work in like refuges, you know, like hands-on with the women and children and men, of course, that are like the victims of domestic abuse. That's what I'd like to do in the future, but we'll see where it goes, because that might change and it might be a different role, but that's definitely what I'd like to do. I'd like to do a similar job to what Dawn does as being an IDVA. I'd love to be that one day, or a counsellor, or just something in the service, and be able to see it firsthand with being a community champion. And I just know all the support that I got from Foundation, in particular Dawn, and it was immense the amount of support I got, and I'd love to be able to do that for somebody one day.
I would like to be a support worker, whereby I'm supporting and giving people hope, because majority of the people, they have lost their hopes, they have lost, most of them, they're in that shell that they cannot, they cannot get out of it. But if I give them some words and things I have gone through, especially during the domestic violence and stuff like that, it might help and encourage somebody to get out of that shell, and see the other side of life.
I think it's important that whoever is suffering, that when they reach out, it's important to know that they're not going to be told what they should do, because their story is their story. It's individual and it's unique. And if they're not at that stage where they're ready to make that change, they can still be supported. And then hopefully as time moves on and they become stronger, then, they may feel differently about it.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your stories. They are really, really powerful. And what you've achieved so far is absolutely amazing. And we wish you all the best with your goals for the future. And we hope this will inspire anyone who needs it to seek support.
I would also say that thank you to Foundation for the support they're giving people, and live long the Foundation.
Yeah, thank you.